John chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, that thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of thy word. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the agape love. Thank you, Lord, that we are all here today, physically, spiritually, with everything that we have got, our soul, our mind, our heart, our strength, our everything, oh Lord. We are here to surrender. We are here to trust, to believe, and to obey that we belong to you, Lord. And we are here that you may have all the preeminence, oh Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that our life has been changed. We are not the same, oh Lord. Lord, every single day, oh Lord, we can see, we can feel, we can realize that the word is working in our life, working inside out, that we are all changing from glory to glory, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the growth. Thank you, Lord, for the valleys. Thank you, Lord, for the pain and sufferings, because, oh Lord, we are being forced by fire. We are learning obedience through trials. We rejoice in the fellowship of thy sufferings because, O Lord, we are part of the ministry of reconciliation. We are part of the word and we are the body of Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this family. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry. Thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, the words of life that you are about to speak to all of us, Lord, we pray, sanctify our hearts in thy Holy Spirit. Create a new heart in all of us that we may receive the word of life. That we may suppress our flesh, that our spirit will be united with the Holy Spirit, O Lord. Lord, we are asking as a congregation, as one God's family, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us, soak us, and open the heavens, and Lord, we pray for thy Holy Spirit presence, O Lord, throughout the sermon. And when we worship you, when we read the words of life, as we meditate, as we break the word with thy guidance, O Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is our prayer, and we believe we have received it in Jesus' name. Lord, I surrender the sermon unto thy hands. Lord, we are all here as an empty vessel. We are all here to edify one another as one God's family. Lord, we are all here as servants to one another. Lord, bless the holy place. Sanctify the holy place where we stand, because, O Lord, you are holy. To receive the Holy Spirit, O Lord, we have to be holy, O Lord. Lord, we ask for thy blood that washed all our sins, that delivered us from the power of darkness, that made us as into kings and saints unto God. O Lord, we pray for thy guidance, for thy presence in the midst of us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. You may be all seated. We thank the Lord for the past 5 weeks of sermon series. By the grace of God, we are all going through a process where the Lord is teaching us, guiding us, because the Lord wants us to grow. Amen.
Amen.
The gardener wants the tree to grow because the tree must bear fruit, because the seed that was sowed by the Lord Himself, it will bear fruit.
Amen.
So the Bible says, and the Lord Jesus was talking to the disciples and shedding light to the darkness. We believe Him. By doing so, we will do the same works of Him. By doing so, we will bear the fruits of Him, because of which we will be called as the disciples of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So bearing fruit for the Lord is a sign that we believe Him.
Amen.
Belief is not a passive state. Belief is something that lives as a work of God, because the Word is a living Word. So the word
Amen.
Belief is also living. Our faith is life. Our belief is life.
Amen.
The works that we do for God is life.
Amen.
Amen. Last Sunday, by the grace of God, we started the topic on who testifieth all things, and the witness, we can call it as eyewitness, we can call it as the person who has seen it, who has done it, who was there, the importance of being a witness for Christ, because Christ Himself is called the faithful and true witness. Now, why the Lord is called as the first who resurrected from the dead, the first begotten of the dead. Amen. Where the dead entered into our lives in the Garden of Eden, and that's why when we read in the Bible, through Adam, death entered. Although he was not the one who committed the sin, but Eve was created of him. So whatever happened to Eve, Adam takes full responsibility and accountability, because Eve cannot identify God without Adam. God was created, God created Adam from the dust, and he breathed into his life, and he created him in his image and likeness. Amen. But when he created Eve from Adam. So the only way the enemy can deceive or make an impact in Adam's life is to deceive Eve, who was created of him for him. And that's what happened, and that is where we started this series from the word nakedness. Then we moved on to blessedness. Then by grace of God we studied the bond of perfectness, which is to put on charity, because God is love. He gave us the only begotten Son because He loved us. Amen. Today, I was praying last week, if we all can say with the blessed assurance that I have received the truth, Jesus is my Lord, He is my Master, He is my Savior, I repent and I confess, that is how I got baptized, I am starting a new life in Him, I am a new creation. If we say that we don't have the Holy Ghost, then whatever we said, it doesn't make sense. Because the Bible says, we will receive Holy Ghost because the Lord resurrected to send His Comforter to us.
Amen.
And that is why the baptism, as it was practiced before the resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, changed once for all, because the Lord has opened the doors. He bridged the gap. He restored the path for us. Amen. So let's start with, just to refresh our minds, so that the Lord can speak to our hearts, how we started this series of sermon. By God's grace, when we started this series on the foundation of God, the first two Sundays we studied words of life, just to prepare our hearts, our mind, our soul, to understand and to appreciate and to prepare ourselves to put ourselves in a state of obedience, state of humbleness, state of humility, because what the Lord has done to us, because we were naked, because we were standing on the foundations of the world, foundations of men, and the Lord, by His grace, He gave us the gift of salvation. He pulled us into His light. Then we asked the Lord about the importance of standing firm. That is why we started with, where do we stand? And the spiritual eyes, because without the revelation of Holy Spirit, to understand God's word, we can't understand the truth. So the Lord has opened all our eyes, as Brother Paul shared last Friday. The Lord has opened our eyes, and only because of that, we are able to understand why Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. Not because of anyone else. So we have the Holy Ghost, we have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit guidance, we cannot see all these things, no matter whoever comes and preaches to us. So the Lord helped us how to see, because He made us to understand where we were standing. Where do we stand? But today we are standing in blessedness. Today we can see blessedness because the Lord is doing His work. And as part of His work, we are part of the Word. We are separated from nakedness, from darkness, and we are moved to the blessedness. Then we started the series one by one as the Lord lead us from the name above all names, the name above all names before which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, the only begotten Son and the manifestation of God's love. And last Sunday we were blessed with the faithful and true witness, because in Revelation the last chapter says, He which testifieth all these things. So we say, come Lord Jesus quickly. Today we will ask the Lord to teach us, to bless us with more of His grace, with more of His knowledge and wisdom, to understand the power of Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit.
Amen.
Without that, whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever the life that we live, will become nothing but a tradition. Because we were in flesh, and we just started today by reading, we are born of the Spirit. Amen. When the messenger of God spoke to Mary, the virgin, he said, you will have a son born of the Holy Spirit. And now we are all born of the Holy Spirit spiritually, and we are new creation, because we were bound to the original sin in our blood of sin, blood of shame. But Jesus Christ, through His blood in the cross, He brought peace, and He washed us, and He made us, and He delivered us. Amen.
Amen.
So the power of Holy Spirit, which beareth witness with our spirit.
Amen.
Do you all believe that we have our own spirit? Because the Lord created us in His image and His likeness.
Amen.
But now He wants us to conform to the image of His Son, who is also called the image of God. Amen.
Amen.
So the power of Holy Spirit. What is the power of Holy Spirit? And why we have to check every day in our daily battle that our spirit, is it under the complete control and influence and guidance and the blessed assurance of Holy Spirit? Because only the Holy Spirit can make you as a witness.
Amen.
Only the Holy Spirit can make the world to see you as a lighthouse which can shine light. We cannot shine light on our own. When the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, then we shine light.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit, when we speak, then the words become the words of life.
Amen.
If not, we can't speak life. We can't live life. We can't say life. Because when Jesus said, I will go to my Father, your Father, I will go to my God, your God, and I will send you my Comforter, who will reveal things, and we will be baptized in the name of Jesus, then we will receive the gift of Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So the power of Holy Spirit, this is what we will prayerfully study and ask the Lord to break the bread for us. I was praying to understand, when we call Adam, the first Adam as the living soul, and the last Adam as the quickening spirit, there is no mentioning of life or death between these two. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 22. In death we find life. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 52. I will read this from verse 20, please. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I read this again. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The first Adam, a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Amen. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Amen. So the Bible says, for as in Adam all die. Actually, the enemy deceived Eve. But Eve, part of Adam. So when the Lord identifies sin, when the Lord identifies what happened in Garden of Eden, he calls the name of the man. Through Adam, death entered. And Bible says Christ shall all be made alive. We will all be made alive in Christ. Amen. So death and life, living soul and quickening spirit. What is missing is flesh. The flesh has no preeminence or importance in these two extremes, because the flesh is something the Lord wants us to be circumcised from, because He is spirit and we worship Him, we praise Him, we love Him, we do everything for Him in spirit. Then the power of Holy Spirit was not given to those in the Old Testament, because when Jesus said, I will go and send my Comforter, which means the Comforter was not sent all this while. Amen. That is why when Jesus died, the Bible says He descended unto Sheol and He preached gospel to the souls. So now, if the Holy Spirit beareth itself witness with our spirit, what is the challenge that is standing between us and the Holy Spirit? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen?
Amen.
But actually, what the Lord wants us to understand is, your flesh is stronger than your spirit, because of which you are in darkness. In sarcastically, it is said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weak means, if we are holding on to flesh, the strength of flesh, your spirit will become weaker, then the Holy Spirit cannot have control or influence over you. So it is a sarcastic way of saying, if you think you are strong in your flesh, don't forget your flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. But those who are in darkness, who are against God's word, they hold on to the strength of the flesh, because of which the spirit became weaker and weaker and weaker, and the spiritual understanding is blurred, and they cannot see. The eyes are shut, the ears cannot hear, and the heart cannot receive. Let's read Romans chapter 5. We will restore the link between the first Adam and the last Adam, then we will come to the power of Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 to 16. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. It did not talk about the woman. As by one man the sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15. But not as the offense so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Amen. For if one man can bring death to many, then one man can bring life to many. Amen. Through Adam, death entered, although Eve was a woman deceived by enemy, but the Lord says, woman and man, they are married, two shall be one flesh. You commit sin in flesh. Adam took responsibility of his wife, Eve, in one flesh, and he identified himself as the person who bear the shame, all the abomination, all the sin upon him. That is why in the New Testament, Adam is used to represent by one man death entered, and by one man life will be given to many. The last Adam, the quickening spirit. We read verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus is the life. Amen. Because death entered through Adam and life entered through Jesus. He opened the doors. Because of what was lost by death, he restored it back by the same death. That is why he died for us. I was questioning myself few years back when 1 Peter 3:19, when the Lord descended into Sheol for preaching gospel to the souls, what was the enemy doing? Jesus died, he descended unto Sheol to preach gospel to the souls. Amen. The enemy wanted to tempt him, disturb him when Jesus was fasting. In Garden of Gethsemane, the flesh was overcome. What happened? The prayer, what happened in Garden of Gethsemane, is the proof that Jesus was in flesh, because he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And there were three witnesses for what happened on that night. Amen. Enemy is also looking at what's going on the cross when Jesus said, Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he said that word, we can have this feeling of blessed assurance why Jesus said that word, not any other word. He did not say, Lord, why you are forsaking me? He did not say, Lord, can you not forsake me? He did not say, Lord, don't forsake me. Because the words that come out of the mouth of Jesus is extremely powerful. It is life. And whatever he say, whatever he ask, it shall come to pass. Amen. So when Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? It reminds us, whatever God had purposed in his heart, it shall come to pass. That is why we read everything in past tense in the New Testament. After the gospel, from Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Philippians, all the letters what Paul wrote to the churches, he had this ultimate confidence and assurance because of his anointing by the Holy Spirit. He tells everything glorified, justified, delivered, saved, everything in past tense. Why? Because if God had purposed something in his heart, the thoughts, the counseling of the mind, when he speaks, it shall come to pass. Amen. Nothing can stand against it. Amen. Isaiah 7:7. it shall come to pass, whatever against God's word, whatever the abomination can be, how powerful it could be, whatever the hindrance can be, the Bible says, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. Which means, whatever God has purposed in his heart, it shall stand, it shall come to pass. And that is why we are all standing on the very same foundation, the chief cornerstone, the lively stone, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is why he comes and tells us, I am the first and last, I am the Alpha and Omega, I am the same yesterday, today and forever. This word forever, this is where we are coming at now. When God told Adam, be fruitful and multiply. Remember, he said in chapter 1, verse 8. God tells Adam, I created you, tend and keep this garden, but that is not a main responsibility. I want you to be fruitful and multiply because God wants to be all in all. He wants his children to populate the earth and he wants his kingdom to be there. But what happened in Garden of Eden, death entered, sin entered, the wage of sin is death. God had to go and tell this to Noah. Let's read chapter 9 verse 1. Because God said the same thing to three people, but the fourth one, there is a difference. We start from Adam first. Genesis 1:28. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. God tells Adam, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 verse 11. See what are the changes or the series of events that happened that led us all the way to call Jesus as the root and offspring of David. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 verse 11 says, the earth was so corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God told Adam, I want you to fill the earth with my people. Be fruitful and multiply. But in chapter 6 verse 11 says, in the sight of God, the earth was corrupt. It was filled with violence. It is not of God. So God talks to Noah, chapter 9 verse 1. He tells the same thing that he told to Adam. Let's read this. And God blessed Noah and his sons, the same way God blessed Adam and Eve. And he says, and he said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Why God had to tell the same thing again to someone, if the word was spoken to someone, has to come to pass, it shall come to pass. Amen? But the challenge is, the person to whom God said, he is not the faith and truth witness. He could not fulfill what the Lord had told him, because sin entered and death entered, the life was lost in the Garden of Eden. So Lord had to tell this to generations, because the life, the true life, was lost, but rather death entered. Yes, we all can say Adam lived 930 years. He lived. Actually, death lived until 930 years in Adam's life. Adam started living when he joined with the Lord. Amen. Only when the Spirit called by God, our true life of eternity starts with him, in him. That's why when you read, we were dead in trespasses, that doesn't mean that we were literally dead in body, but actually our body is dying. Death is a work in progress. Amen. Even when a child is born, the child is born to die. Death is in progress. It is nothing but a lifespan of death. But there is only one life. And that life has no span, has no death. So now, if we read through Adam, by one man death entered, God came and told Noah, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Which means Adam wasn't able to be a witness or faithful true witness to Noah, because of which God had to come and tell Noah what he told to Adam again. It did not stop there. Let's read Genesis chapter 11 verse 4. again the cycle begins. In chapter 11, verse 4, we read, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Can you see a similar character of what Lucifer thought in Ezekiel, which made him to fall from where he was supposed to be? Let us build a tower, a city, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. We read there is only one name, the name above all names. When the people say, let us make a name for themselves, it is idol worship, it is abomination, it is something not godly. Now God goes and talks to Abraham in the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, we read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." When the Lord says all, it is all. It is nothing less, nothing more. It is all. All families of the earth be blessed through Abraham. It was a promise given to him. Started from Adam, God said the same thing to Noah, and God said the same thing to Abraham. And between these three covenants that he established, that he spoke, there is a huge, rapid increase of sin, corruption, violence, which made the Lord to go and tell the servant that he chose in that particular appointed time. He used Adam, he used Moses, he used Noah, he used Abraham, he used all his servants, all the prophets, kings in the Old Testament. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what God told to David is a bit different than what he told to Adam, Noah and Abraham. Let's read Psalms chapter 89, verse 4. Psalms chapter 89, verse 4. Why David holds a special place in the Bible is something marvelous to the eyes of the world, but the Lord can open our spiritual eyes to see why he is doing things in his way. When he chose Judah over Joseph, can we say that it is not fair or it is just a grace and mercy? There is a reason for everything what God does, and it is beautifully expounded, beautifully revealed in God's word. Why God chose Judah over Joseph for the family line of Jesus. But David, the verse that he spoke to David in chapter 89, verse 4, I will read from verse 1 so that we have the full context. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." Forever. The word forever, it is not bound to time. Amen. He is actually hitting the target of eternity, because the God he served is the eternal Holy Spirit. He says forever. Okay. "With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations." He declared that I will declare your faithfulness to all generations. God told Abraham, I will bless all the families of this world through you, through your descendants. Verse 2, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever." Again, he is talking about forever. "Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens." Amen. "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant." David is a king, but God calls everyone as a servant, because he chose them to serve one another. By doing so, they can serve him. We cannot love God if we don't love our brother or our sister or our family. We can't love God. God said, you are a liar. We don't want to be the liar. There is only one liar. We don't want to be part of the adversary. Amen. And God says, "I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever." This is where the word comes, I will establish a seed forever and build up thy throne to all generations. When God says, I will build up thy throne to all generations, David's kingdom had come to an end. Amen. He was a king. He is not a king now. He was a king. His time was over. But when God says, thy throne will be established for all generations, what throne is talking about? We will receive a crown from him. Amen. Revelation says, when we die, when we suffer for the fellowship of his sufferings, when we witness him in our spirit, when God uses us as an empty vessel for him, when we leave this earth, God will give us a crown. Amen. And Revelation chapter 1 says, Jesus, the faithful and true witness, the first begotten of the dead, the first and last, the Alpha and Omega, who hath made us unto kings and saints to reconcile back to God. He calls us as kings. He also calls us as servants. So, in Psalms 89, when God says, I will establish thy seed forever and build up thy throne to all generations, and he said, I have sworn unto David my servant. Now, let's remember what we read in Revelation, the last chapter, verse 22, the very last verse when Jesus identifies himself one last time that he came in flesh for you and me. And whose name he is using it here? Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church earth. Not just church, church earth. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Amen. God always closed the loop because he is the beginning and the end. He always closed the loop. Whatever the Lord says, it shall come to pass, and what is to be waited is nothing but the purpose that God has purposed in himself. Once it is done, when God completes the counseling, the thoughts of his mind, when he speaks the word, then you can say, you can take it in past tense. It's done. It will be done. You can say glorified, justified, proven, delivered. Everything is past tense. Let's think about ourselves, how weak we are. Only we are subject to present tense, past tense, future tense. Amen. We can say, I had this. I am having this. I may have this. So we are subject to time. But when God has said, I have purposed this in my heart, he is not bound to time. That is why we read this in past tense, but he speaks everything in the assurance that his word is life, it shall come to pass. For him there is no past tense. For him there is no present tense. For him there is no future tense. God is always moving. He is beyond time. Amen. Amen. We are bound to time. We are bound to time. He is beyond time. That is why when God says, when 1 Timothy talk about mystery of godliness, justified, manifested, glorified, everything is in past tense because the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Done. Now the question is, are we being part of that very same purpose that God had purposed in his heart? Because when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said that. Amen. When God's word is being spoken, his sheep will hear his voice because Jesus has said that. Amen. And when we talk about the foundation of God, the Lord says, the foundation of God standeth sure, by which he knows whom belong to him. Amen. God uses his foundation to separate the wheat from the tares, to separate the light from darkness, to separate his people from the people of the world. His foundation is something like how God used the ark to bring the family of Noah and shut the door and send them in the flood for 40 days. They were floating on the flood, staying alive, although the entire earth was destroyed in flood by the flood. Family of Noah, they survived because they were inside the ark. But still, the original sin survived as well because God's word has to come to pass. So now, if through Adam death entered, through Jesus we receive the life, and we are here to be a failure in flesh, to be successful in spirit, to be victorious in spirit. So now, with this, let's read the importance of how Jesus testified his purpose in the Bible through his word. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 13. We read, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. The Bible says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Let's see what God told to him in John chapter 18 verse 37. Every word that Jesus spoke, it is the best possible answer that anyone can think of, because the Lord himself spoke. And there are situations where the Lord maintained silence. He didn't speak a word. John chapter 18 verse 37. Yes. The conversation between Jesus and the man, where Jesus testifies his purpose. In verse 37 we read, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. Yes, it is true. He only said that. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus says, I came into this world to bear witness unto the truth. And who is the truth? He himself. He says, I bear witness for myself. He also said that. We will go there. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Amen. My sheep hear my voice. Holy Spirit can reveal the truth to us. And Jesus says, everyone that is of the truth, of the Spirit. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you can hear his voice, that's it. The life will go in and the life will start working. All we need to do is, can we hear the voice of Jesus? Because if we can, the sound of many waters, the fountain of life, as we sing the song today, it can wash us, it can make us clean, it can make us to be clothed in spirit, and it can give us the life, because the word we hear by the one who speak. When Exodus chapter 20 we read, when the Lord said, listen to his voice, he speak. But the Bible says, listen to his voice, I speak. Amen. Being a witness of God is to be able to allow God, our Lord and Master, to use us as a point of communication with his children. Amen. Then the word that we speak will be of life, because it is not we speak, the Lord himself will speak. That is, we call it as empty vessel, a faithful true witness, but can we be like him? Jesus told him, I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So he said, what is the purpose? John, we continue, John verse chapter 15, in the same book, 15 verse 26-27, we read this, and Jesus says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Amen. Even the Spirit of the truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen. Amen. Jesus told Pilate that I came to bear witness of the truth, unto the truth. And everyone who is born of the truth, who is of the truth, will hear my voice. But three chapters before Jesus was talking to his disciples and the people, he says, when the Comforter has come, he says, I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Comforter shall testify of him. Amen. Now, verse 27 says, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Amen. The Lord says, ye have been with me from the beginning, because we are part of the Word. Amen. We are created in Him, by Him, for Him, so that He can reconcile all of us back to our Father. Amen. So, the Lord Jesus says, yes, I came to bear witness unto truth. But He says, verse 27, ye also bear witness of me. He is asking us to bear witness of Him. And how can we do so if we do not understand, acknowledge and desire for the power of Holy Spirit, which can do everything, most importantly, to bear the witness with our spirit. Amen. John chapter 8, we go 7 chapters before what Jesus said. John chapter 8 verse 17 to 18. John chapter 8 verse 17 to 18. We read, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Amen. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Amen. I am one that bear witness of myself. Jesus says, I bear witness of myself, because he told Pilate, I came to bear witness unto truth. He is the truth. And he said, my Father beareth witness of me. That is why he said in chapter 15, the Holy Spirit bear witness of him, testifies of him. He is the manifestation of God's word. He is the manifestation of the fullness of God in all our lives. Amen. So this is what happened in the chapter of John, in the book of John. Let's please open this faithful and true witness. In the meantime, I will read John chapter 1 verse 6 to 8. Before Jesus said all of this, there was one who was sent before him to be called as the voice of the wilderness. Amen. Who is that? John the Baptist. You see what John the Baptist speak, how he speak. John chapter 1 verse 6 to 8, we read, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Amen. This is the first place in the book of John the word witness is used, but not to identify Jesus, but the one that was sent before Jesus to prepare the way for him. Because John the Baptist is called as a voice in the wilderness, he is the one who baptized Jesus. So the Lord wants us to identify him as a witness of Christ. That is why the verse 8 say, verse 7 says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Who is the light? We know that all men through him might believe. So what is the purpose of being witness? Is to make others to believe in him. The word believe is not just I saw, so I know, but rather I believe him, so I will do the same works of him. By doing so, I will bear the fruit for him. By doing so, I will make my Lord to call me as a disciple unto him. Amen. Amen. Verse 8, he was not that light, referring to John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Amen. We are not the light, but we are called to bear witness of that light. We have no light. If you use a mirror to reflect that sunlight, you can show the light to someone's face. I'm sure you all played this game when you were children in school. I had done it a lot of times. Even when the teacher is teaching in the class, we use a small mirror and we disturb him, you know, with the window from the sunshine. He don't know who did this, but no. he knows that, you know, the students are playing with him, he also, you know, like, rejoices with us. How can the sun is shining in one direction, but I use a mirror to get that light and turn back, and I can show the same light to someone who is not in the light? We are here to reflect our faith, to reflect the truth, to reflect the love, to reflect what the Lord has given to us, which we do not own it. It doesn't belong to us. He gave it to us. That is why we are keep on reading the word gift, gift, gift over and over again and again. The word gift means something was given to you. You did not pay for it. You did not buy it. You did not deserve for it. But someone came and gave it to you because he loves you. Whatever we have is a gift. We can only reflect. You cannot give. You can reflect. He is the one who gives through you. But we can reflect. If someone makes us anger, we can reflect the peace by telling him, I love you. If someone persecutes you, you can reflect the peace of being silent, because there are situations where Jesus did not say a word and he did not give them an answer. So God tells us, I have showed you how to live. Just receive my word and be a mirror that can reflect the light to one another. Amen. That is why in John chapter 1 it says, he was not that light. The very same pride that entered the mind of Lucifer in Ezekiel, who thought, I can set my throne, who thought, you know, I can be powerful, I can be the Almighty. He thought, I am the light. He thought. He forgot that he is not the light. He is nothing but a simple mere mirror that reflects the light, who is the truth, who is the way, and who is the light. When he committed that abomination of pride, what entered in his life? Darkness. He was cast down into darkness, and he is called as the darkness. He is ruling the world with darkness, with lust, with pride, with murder, with all the sins of, we can say, maybe the gifts and the fruits of darkness, the evil ones. So God is calling all of us to bear witness of him in spirit, not in our spirit, in his spirit. Amen. So the faithful and true witness, Revelation 1st chapter, he who testified all things, the last chapter of Revelation, the last verse. Amen. So now, in Greek word, martyrio means to bear witness or to testify. It is a verb. You know, verb means something in motion, action. I am bearing witness. It is a dynamic course of action. It is going on. I cannot say 3 years before I was bearing witness, it is enough, I have done my part, now I am just getting my pension. No. We bear witness every day. Because today is the only day that we can live. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is with him. Amen. Materia means to bear witness or to testify. Materia means it's a noun. Noun means it's a name. It says the record or the evidence or the proof. The last one, martes, is representing the person who is bearing the witness. It is also a noun. We all can be called martes if we bear the witness of Christ. As a person, it is not a verb. But inside us, martyrio, which is to testify, to bear witness, it is keep on working in us. Because we are a living witness. Amen? We talked about it. The last one, martyr. Witnessing for Christ led to persecution and death. There are people who were persecuted and killed for the Lord. Even Stephen was called as martyr in Acts chapter 22. He was killed because of his faith. He was killed because he was bearing witness for the Lord. He was killed because he was testifying Jesus in his life. He was killed. We are also dying in our flesh every day. Amen. We are being killed in our flesh every day to live in spirit. But apostles, people who died for Christ, literally, who gave their lives, they are called martyrs because of the process, martyrio, materia, martyrs, and called martyr. When they die, God says, I will give you a crown. When we die in our sin, God says, I will give you a crown. Now, let's keep this in our mind and read the three verses prayerfully. How Jesus set an example of these three, four words, which are all one. All the four words which I showed you on the top, materio, materia, matthias, and matthias in Greek, it's all one. But four different angles. If you do it, it's a verb, it's an action, it's a work. If you have it, it's an evidence, it's a proof. If you are the one who has it, you are the person who bears the witness. And if you die in flesh, if you live a life where you die for Him, you are a Messiah for Christ. Now, John chapter 8 verse 17 8, we just read, He who testifies about myself, Father who sent me to testify about me. John 18:37, when Jesus said, I came unto the world to testify the truth. He is the truth. And John 14:26-27, He says, The Spirit of the truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me, and you will testify also. The Spirit of truth, if it does not rest upon us, the second one is not possible in our life. God says, He will testify also if you are willing. He will testify also if you are obedient. He will testify also if you can suppress your flesh and surrender your spirit unto me. Then you can be a witness of me. We cannot take it, it must be given. Whenever we do something for God, it is not something for us to take. It is something that has been given. Amen. This is what the Lord spoke. And this is how the word witness is used in the Gospel of John. John 1-2. And also in the chapter of Revelation. I was studying some books. It says, in the entire New Testament, the word witness, or Matthias, it was used extremely higher or more number of times in the books of John. And now we know in the chapter of Revelation, John is also the witness of the greatest revelation that was revealed to all of us. Amen. Half of the words witness, Matthias, Martyrio, Matthias, is all used in the books of John compared to all other books in the New Testament. Now let's please move to the courtroom from here. So I prepared this so that we will share our lessons, the Lord, the inspiration that God has given to all of us, because every one of us, we have our own life. I cannot testify what the Lord has done, for example, in Brother Clement's life, because you are the witness of the Lord's hand upon your life. But when He testifies, we receive His witness through the words that is spoken. Amen. Every one of us, we are a witness because of what happened in our life. We were accused. We were found guilty. We were standing on the sin. We were standing on the foundations. And the Lord said, it's fine. Let me be the cure. Let me be the sacrifice. Let me be the lamb who will die for you so that you can be released into life. Rather, I don't want you to be destroyed in the everlasting fire, but rather I will give you eternal life. Just believe and listen to what I speak. Who is saying that? The faithful and true witness. Now let's look into this. In a courtroom, I have gone through a lot of reference materials, and it is, I would say, the most standard framework that is used in all the countries. Even what is mentioned in the Bible. Amen. The judge who sits on top of everyone in terms of power and authority, who can make the decision of life and death. Amen. He can tell you, you are released, you are found innocent. He can tell you, you found guilty. No, you will be arrested, you will be in jail, or you will serve the punishment. And there is a maker who keeps the law in the court, who is in charge of maintaining the regulations, law and order in the courtroom. And we have mediator, clerk and officials who are in between the judge and all the other people who pass the information back and forth. Mediator. And we have the advocate who plead guilty for the one who committed, who is called maybe the pursuer, or who is called the defender, or accused, or innocent, you can call it. There is an advocate. And there is also a waiting room where people will have to wait for the turn to come and witness. They have to wait until their names are called. Whether it can be a witness, or the accused, or guilty, whoever is to be questioned, or whoever will be given an opportunity to speak, there is a waiting room in all the courtrooms. And that waiting room is where the witness are kept safer so that the world cannot see it until they come and witness. They won't see the coming because they want to protect the witness. In all the cases, the most important person to be protected is the witness. Amen? Because if he is killed, then everything will collapse. Whatever the others say, it doesn't hold value because you need a witness. Then we have a counsel for the defender and we have a counsel for the pursuer. Maybe the person who filed the case, that who accused someone, he has his own counsel. And the person who was accused, he will also bring his own counsel to defend him. Then the defender, the solicitor for the defender, pursuer, the solicitor for the pursuer, and behind the last cadre in the hierarchy is the people, an open gallery for the public to see what's going on, and there is also another set of people like the Pharisees, Sadducees, the present media, who just wants to come here to make a big scene of it. So here the jury, they also have a responsibility to share their views, their verdict based on what they collect, what they perceive, based on the knowledge, wisdom, what was given to them, based on how they analyze the case, everything. This is what typically happens in any judgment, any courtroom. The judge, the mazer, advocate, mediator, solicitor, defender, pursuer, accused. And the words that are used in a courtroom are defense, accused guilty, prosecution, innocent, eyewitness, evidence to testify. There can be a person, a living person, who can be a witness, and there can also be something, can be a evidence, proof of things that can justify something. And the last one is very important, gallery. God always makes a spectacle of everything so that the world can see what's going on. He exposes. There is no secret that cannot be hidden. There is no secret that can be hidden from the sight of God. He exposes everything. Now, in this courtroom, the judge needs to be someone who is extremely neutral, not biased with anyone, who is just, because he needs to give justice. The all other responsibilities and positions can be shuffled. For example, you and me can intercede for someone. You and me can plead the Lord for the forgiveness of someone. Lord, please forgive my sister, my brother, like how Moses did for Miriam. You and me can go on our knees to pray the intercessory prayer for someone. But there is one position here that we cannot take, the judge. You can be a witness of Christ. You can be accused because you are bearing the Christ in your life. You can be killed. You can be the guilty. You can be innocent. You can be all in this courtroom, not but judge. There is only one who can judge, who has the power and authority over all things. All things means all things that were said by the Almighty. All things. So now, let's go to the next one. The lion and the lamb. When the Lord tells us, bear witness of me, we can be like him in everything other than him being the judge when the time comes. That is why the Bible says, do not judge one another. Judgment belongs to the Lord. Amen. But there is a difference between discernment and judgment. Most of the time, we misunderstand discernment over judgment, or we say, I'm just discerning, but actually we are judging. Sometimes we say, I'm not judging, so I'm not going to tell anything. But what is the importance of the gift of spiritual discernment? If the Lord has given us the discernment, it is to save the souls, it is to stand in the gap for one another, but if we are scared, then we have to understand why the Lord said, he is the lion and he is the lamb. He was sacrificed for our sins. Amen. Now let's read this. The faithful and true witness, he who testifieth all things. Amen. This is what we read in Revelation 1 and the last chapter. He is the counselor, the savior, the defender and the redeemer for all of us. Amen. And he was also falsely accused. In the previous framework, we saw the word accused, guilty.
He was also falsely accused for you and me. The Bible says he knew no sin and became sin. And he was falsely accused so that he can die for us. He resurrected for us. And he is also called as the advocate and the mediator for us because he intercedes as a high priest for us. He is pleading, he is praying, he is doing everything for us so that we will be reconciled back to him. He is also the judge who will judge everyone into life and death. So now, Revelation 1, Colossians 1 and 1 Corinthians 15. I have summarized the most important words that I am blessed with. In Revelation 1, there are three things that talks about the work that Jesus came to perform, and he performed in past tense, in sequence. He loved us unto him. Second, he washed us from our sins. Then, in Colossians 1, delivered us from the power of darkness. Then, he made us kings and priests unto God. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, because we were all dead. We were all dead. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. When Jesus said, washed us, made us, delivered us, and loved us, everything started because he loved us first. Amen? So now with this, when the Lord says, I testify the truth, you testify me in spirit, the Lord says, I will send my comforter, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Amen. Amen. So in the courtroom, we saw the names of the roles of the people involved. And a few Sundays ago, we were studying on the names of the Lord in the New Testament. High priest, advocate, mediator, the judge. He has been doing all of this for all of us. Why? Because we read this prayerfully, 1 Corinthians 15. Now when all things shall have been put in subjection to him, then also the Son himself will be put in subjection to the one, having put in subjection all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Amen.
Amen.
He is all in all.
Amen.
Last Sunday when Abraham, Isaac and God on the mountain, when Abraham obeyed God's word, when Isaac obeyed his father, when everybody, the two people on the mountain, were doing everything to fulfill God's word, can a man do all of this by himself? Because we are sinners. We have no righteousness. We have no truth, no life. God is all in all. That's why when the Lord said, let us create the man in our image and likeness, he always testifies his fellowship with whom he lives in them. So in 1 Corinthians 15, when he says, so that it all comes to the point, so that God may be all in all. Amen. Now in Colossians 1, I read this. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, all things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things back to himself.
Amen.
These two verses explain so beautifully the understanding of what is the revelation of Jesus says, I am the faithful and true witness, because so that God may be all things were created in him, for him, by him, and he came unto testify the truth, and he is the truth. So he came unto testify himself, and he says, I will send the Holy Spirit who will bear witness of me. And the Holy Spirit says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Amen. So we thank the Lord that the word faithful and true witness and the power of Holy Spirit, this is where we are standing right now, because the Lord has given us His Holy Spirit, or else we won't be sitting here. Amen. We would be somewhere in the darkness or somewhere sitting in our home doing something if the Lord did not bless us with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps us to overcome our flesh, our own spirit, so that our bodies can be dragged, our soul can be dragged, our mind can be dragged to follow Him. We submit, we surrender. Amen. Now, the power of Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I would like to go reverse from the apostolic ministry, and we go to the gospel, and we go to the prophetical books, and we go to the Old Testament, to see how the power of Holy Spirit, how the importance of us to be in His Spirit is spoken by the Lord through His servants in different times. Because time plays an important role in our lives, because we are in seventh church age. Amen. So we go from the apostolic books. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. We read, I will read from verse 7. And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. Amen. Which the Father has put in His own power. Verse 2 says, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after that Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. We receive the power after the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost come upon us. Amen. And ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Uttermost part of the earth. What the Lord told Abraham. I will bless all the families of this earth through you. Amen. He told David, I have sworn unto my servant David that he will establish a covenant. He will bless the seed forever. So that whatever the Lord wanted to do, what He said to Adam, to Noah, to everyone, it's all coming to the most important finishing work of God, which is testifying in Him by receiving the power from the Holy Spirit. Only then, the Lord said, you shall be a witness to me in Judea, Jerusalem, in uttermost part of the earth. This is how the Lord said, I'm going to start the Great Commission. We are still in the Great Commission. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2 verse 33 to 38. We read, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus said, I will go and send the Comforter to you. It's a promise. Word was spoken and it is fulfilled. So He says, and having received, again in past tense, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Amen. Ye now see and hear what the Lord has spoken. Verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all in the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know, when he said that, you know what happened? Now when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart. Being a testimony of the Lord by the power of Holy Spirit can do things which you can't imagine, which you can't plan, We cannot control God. We cannot limit God. We cannot pre-program God's gathering. We submit and we ask the Lord to take the complete lead in whatever we say, we speak for the Lord. The power of Holy Spirit is strongly mentioned in Acts because from the chapter of Acts, we know the Great Commission and we are still part of the ministry of reconciliation. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 4 verse 31. Chapter 4 verse 31. We will read in Acts first before we go to Romans. Acts chapter 4 31. I read this. And when they had prayed, not before they prayed, not when they thought that they are going to pray, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. The place where they gathered, not they were separated, the place where they gathered, where they assembled to gather in His name, when they had prayed, the place was shaken and they were all filled with Holy Ghost. After they were filled with Holy Ghost, they spoke God's word in boldness.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 6 says, speak the word boldly. And here we read, if we don't receive the Holy Ghost, the power of Holy Ghost, we cannot speak boldly. We will have a hesitation and we will speak in our own spirit. We don't want that. Amen. Chapter 5 verse 32. Chapter 5 verse 32 we read, and we are His witness of these things. What these things? Revelation chapter 32 says, He testifies all these things. Acts chapter 5 32 says, and we are His witness of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that they obey Him. Amen.
Amen.
If we want to receive the power of Holy Spirit, the Lord says, obey Him.
Amen.
Trust and obey Him. When we obey, we bow our head, we tell the Lord, I don't want to be the head of my body, I want to behead it, like what happened to John the Baptist. Lord, You be the head, because I am the church.
Amen.
We are the church. Amen. The Holy Ghost, the power of Holy Ghost can empower us, embrace us to speak the gospel boldly, which we can't do by ourselves, because the word doesn't belong to us. We are part of the word. Amen?
Amen.
There is a difference between saying that I belong to Him than saying that this belongs to me. We belong to Him. We are part of the word. Amen. Acts chapter 9 verse 31. So we can see there is an evolution of how the power of Holy Spirit is being addressed, preached to the Gentiles, to the people. Chapter 9 verse 31 we read, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. Amen. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. What is this multiplied? When the Lord told Adam, be fruitful and multiply, subdue all over earth, is it like gathering a big crowd? Let's say our church is about 2,000 people, 10,000 people. It is not the multiply God is talking about. A spiritual multiplication where the light is being shined, spread across the globe, where the darkness is fleeing away because the truth is being sent. The ministry of reconciliation, when God's word is spoken by God's children, there is liberty. Because where there is Holy Ghost, there is liberty.
Amen.
Why we need liberty? Because we were in bondage. We were bound to death. And who can give us the freedom? Liberty. God through the Holy Ghost, when we speak the word,
Amen.
After we obey and we receive the power of Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 19 verse 5 to 6. Chapter 19 verse 5 to 6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
They did not take time to think. They did not take time to go and analyze. The Bible says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Which means, when Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," it's fulfilled here because the sheep has been identified by his servants by preaching gospel to the right people at the right time with the right word, because they are filled with the power of Holy Ghost when they spoke and the word came to pass. And not just that, in verse 6, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." Amen?
Amen.
Chapter 1, we started this. When the Holy Spirit descended unto them, they spake God's word boldly. Amen? Here, when Paul laid his hands, and he anointed the people with the power of Holy Ghost, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen?
Amen.
So, when I was reading this, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, until then, the Holy Spirit, in the bodily shape of dove, descended unto Jesus only after John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Amen? But you just think about this. Father says, "Beloved, this is my beloved son, my fullness dwells in him." But God was waiting until John the Baptist baptized Jesus. The Holy Spirit did not descend unto Jesus before John the Baptist baptized. God always, always honored his servants. Only after John the Baptist did what he has to do, remember Jesus said, "Do what you need to do." When he did that, then the Holy Spirit descended. When Moses was raising his hands, Aaron and Hur were carrying the burden whenever his hands were heavy, Joshua was fighting with Amalekites. When Moses was able to raise his hands, Joseph was able to overcome the enemies. When his hands were heavy, when he put down, enemy were overcoming Joshua. Do you understand something more beautiful here? Even in Old Testament, Joshua did not win the battle. Even Moses, who raised the hand, did not win the battle. The obedience of Moses and the Spirit of the Lord rested upon Moses, and when Moses laid his hand, God wants the whole Israel to say, "Although my servant is old, he is weak, you won't win the battle until he keep his hand raised." He was not young. Moses was not in the battle. He was not fighting the battle with Amalekites. He was just kneeling down somewhere in the corner, and he raised the hand, Israel won. He dropped the hand, Israel was losing. What God wants us to tell, wherever we are, whatever churches we are into, whoever is your pastor, whoever the Lord has appointed, older, weaker, sick, the Lord says, if I am with my servant, it is all spiritual battle. Amen? It's not a physical battle. Joshua came victorious because Moses was able to keep his hands raised, all the while as commanded by God, but God allowed other two servants to share the burden with Moses. Amen? John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Until then, the Holy Spirit descended only after that, not before that. Amen? So, let's read Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, two verses. Then we shall continue the next week by God's grace. Ezekiel chapter 36. I will read verse 27. Chapter 36, verse 27. We read, "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." God says, "I will put my spirit within you." Amen. Chapter 37, verse 11 to 14. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 11 to 14, I read, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Verse 14, And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for what the Lord is speaking to all of us.
Amen.
By the grace of God, we shall continue the same next week. May the Lord guide us, teach us, that we may grow in the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, nothing else. Amen.
Amen.
We are here to grow, to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in exactly the same way He wants us to know Him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all rise. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we were all found guilty, accused. We were all marked for death, but Lord, you delivered us from the darkness. Lord, you loved us and you washed us from our sins. And we are all here because you made peace by your blood in the cross. And Lord, we are all here, our feet shattered, to preach the gospel of peace, because, O Lord, we are all reconciled back to Thee in Thy word, O Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit, which itself beareth witness with our spirit. Lord, we are all here to declare in the mighty name of Jesus, take complete control of our mind, our heart, our soul, our spirit, that you may have preeminence of all things, O Lord. Lord, we belong to you, O Lord. Lord, when Paul and Silas were in the prison, when the foundations were shaken, as we prayed, O Lord, the bonds were loosened, the doors were opened. Lord, we pray, O Father, we ask Thee, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, give us Thy Holy Spirit in our lives, more and more, so that, O Lord, it is not we who live, it is Christ who is in us, O Lord. Lord, guide us to be blessed, influenced, taught by the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that, Lord, we can praise you and worship you in spirit, so that, Lord, we can speak the gospel, the words of life to one another by the Holy Spirit, which testifieth all things through us in our lives, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for the words of life. Lord, guide us and speak to our hearts, and we seek, we desire for spiritual gifts in our church in the mighty name of Jesus, because, O Lord, we believe you, we want to do the same works as you, even greater works because you said so. And we want to bear fruits for you because we want to be the disciples of you every day in our lives. We want to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow thee, O Lord. We declare this and we declare our willingness and we declare the desire of our heart in the name of Jesus. And we pray and we believe we receive it, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything. We pray and we believe that you shall open the heavens and you will bless our church with thy Holy Spirit, that we may walk in spirit, speak gospel boldly in spirit, witness Christ in spirit, do everything by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who also teaches, for we do not know how to pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the words. Thank you, Lord, for the voice. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to all of us. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen.